This is the second half of Matthew chapter 25. I preached in Shetty Camp on July the 6th, but it the recording got lost. So I wanted to keep the series complete. So when we look at the passage of scripture here in Matthew chapter 25, the last time we had looked at was at the virgins who were not ready, who had not gotten their the oil for their lamps, and as a result of that, they missed being at the wedding feast. And we know that the gist of all of this is Jesus soon to be crucified. He is giving really his last major public address, and he is full of compassion and love, but he is warning people. He is giving them a warning because it's the last time. And I see great compassion in this. Even though these warnings are stern, even though these warnings are so clear that there is no room for anything less than repentance and turning your heart completely over to God. Now, I just want to encourage you that as you listen to this message, that you make sure that you're ready. Remember in Matthew 24, Jesus said, "Watch, you don't know what hour your Lord is coming." And then in the parable of the virgins, he makes it very clear that we are to make sure that we are prepared. And this is what we saw the last sermon. But now in Matthew 25:14, Jesus said, "Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability, and he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. The man who received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." Now remember, Jesus is giving a parable here. It's not that everything, every part of the parable has a lesson in it, but the general lesson is that responsibilities were given and the opportunity was given. And 2 of these servants did something with the responsibility and the opportunity, and 1 of them did nothing. He dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. Now, the significance of one having given 5 talents, by the way, a talent was a bag of gold, and that amount or that weight, it was really considered a weight. A talent was, depending on where you were in the East, was somewhere between 50 and 60 pounds. So when Jesus gives this illustration, he gives an illustration of a substantial amount of money. An incredible amount, really, when you stop and think about it. The man who had received 1 talent had not received a small amount. He had received a fortune. 5 talents was way more than a fortune. And, of course, the other one were 2 talents. Now, the Bible says here that each was given according to their ability. And so, when we think about this, there's 2 ways to look at it. One, they were given according to what they were able to respond to. And so, when Jesus gives this story, he says the guy who had 1 talent was not given less in one sense. He was given all that he could have done something with according to his ability. So he had the ability to make money with the 1 talent, but he refused to do it. And we're going to look at the reasons why he refused to do it. But one of the things that I want you to think about here is that Jesus was speaking to the Jews and to the religious leaders and to the nation of Israel, and they had been given much. They had been given the truths of God. They had been given as someone called the oracles of God. The whole of the Old Testament came through the Jewish people. They had an incredible history behind them. They had the revelation of God. So they had been given much. But what had they done with it? What had they done with such revelation? And now, in those last days, God was speaking by his Son. God sent his Son to them. And what did they do? They rejected him. They refused to accept him. And so, in a sense, the picture here of the man who had received the one talent and dug a hole in the ground, hid his master's money, was really a statement to the Jews themselves. For Israel, what they had done, what they were doing with the revelation of God, they were not responding properly. They were not living up to it. And so in Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And the man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Did you notice from the 5 to the 2 talents, he said exactly the same thing. So it wasn't the amount of the talents that determined the joy of the reward. Now this is, remember, these talents in this parable are not talking about the gifts that we have, is talking about the responsibility that has been given and what we have done with it. And as I said, Israel had been given a great responsibility, but they had not responded well. And you, who in the sound of my voice, have been given the responsibility to turn and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you've been given the gospel, the fact that Christ died for your sins, and that you need to respond to God. And if you don't, you could miss what God has for you. In Matthew 25:24, the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man. Harvesting we have not sown, and gathering we have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Now the problem in Matthew 25:24 is the perception of the servant to his master. What did he say? I knew you were a hard man. Now, when we look at the response of the master, he didn't say that he was a hard man. He said, you wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers. So in return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10. For everyone who has will be given more, and who will have abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, remember, Jesus is giving an illustration here. He says, what boss, really, would keep a person who didn't do anything? You hired somebody to do something, and they never did a tap of work. And their answer was, well, I decided not to work for you because I thought that I saw that you were a hard taskmaster. Now, the boss didn't agree with his servant that he was a hard taskmaster, but that was the servant's perception. What is your real perception of God? Do you perceive him as a hard taskmaster? Because he warns us, because he tells us that there's a day of judgment coming, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. That's what the Bible says. God doesn't want sinners to be cast into hell, but they will be, according to the Bible. Hell was not prepared for people, but the scriptures tell us in Revelation it was for the devil and his angels. But if we choose to go the devil's way, we'll follow him right into hell. And so this is a warning that Jesus is giving to the Israelites. It's saying, you have a wrong view of God, and you have not taken your responsibility seriously. You're lazy like the 5 unmarried girls, the virgins, who refused to get oil for their lamps. You're careless about these things, about spiritual things. And you have refused to do what I have asked. The results were catastrophic for this servant, because what he thought he had was taken from him, and that worthless servant was thrown outside. He was no longer, had no part nor lot in the things of the master. And Jesus goes a little farther as he describes. He said there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be great remorse, great regret. Remember, when Jesus was speaking, he was talking about extreme wealth, even with the one talent. There was extreme wealth involved. And so it was the loss of prestige and power and wealth, and everything that came with it was suddenly stripped away. Now, of course, this is an illustration of the spiritual realities. The spiritual realities of God. The Bible says that fear not, little children, is God's good, the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The spiritual matters are that God delights to pour a blessing, spiritual blessing upon us. But if we refuse to accept him, if we refuse to turn to him, if we reject him, which is what this servant really did, then we're going to lose everything. Even the blessing that you know in your life, the exposure that you have to the things of God, and you have exposure, even if you're an atheist, God is still blessing you. You're still in the land of the living. Even if you have the exposure of being in a Christian church and hearing sermons, none of it will do you any good unless you respond to the light that God has given to you. What you think you have will be taken from you. That's the way it's defined in Luke's gospel. So this parable is very solemn in its nature, and it is a strong warning to the Israelites, but my friend, it is a strong warning to you and me as well, to make sure that we see God as he really is and trust in him. Now Jesus moves from a parable to the very end of the age. Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." And so we see here Jesus giving a statement of the end. And we find here that it is the Son of Man. He says, "I'm going to be the one judging. And all of the nations will be gathered. And he will separate the people one from another. Like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Sheep on the right, goats on the left." So my question for you, are you a sheep or are you a goat? If you're a sheep, then you enter into the joy of the Lord. If you're a goat, then you're lost for eternity. It's one place or it's the other. And so he speaks of the sheep and he speaks of the goats. Now, he gives a little bit of a defining factor as to who's a sheep and who's a goat. And it'd be kind of good to know that, wouldn't it? We know that he says, "You are blessed by my Father. You take your inheritance," which is a gift. You don't earn an inheritance. "The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." God has a plan, a good plan. For he says, "Well, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in." "I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Now, I want you to know that this doesn't teach that you earn your salvation by visiting the poor or helping the needy. The Bible says in this passage, the righteous. The righteous are not a people who earned righteousness. They are a people who were given righteousness as an inheritance. The Bible says the righteous will inherit the kingdom of God, but he says, do you not know the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And so righteousness is a gift. It is received by faith, but the result of righteousness as a gift, a right standing with God, is right living. I'll tell you what, if there's no right living, there's no right standing. The right living is proof of a right standing. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. So Jesus said, you blessed me. You gave to me. You visited me, etc., etc. And they were puzzled. They said, you know, because in the free ages to come, many people would not physically see Jesus. But Jesus is making it clear what you do to the body, what you do to other Christians. And specifically, that's who he's speaking about here. He's not just speaking about the world in general. He said, these brothers of mine you did for me, one of the least of these brothers of mine. He's talking about the family of God first and foremost. The Bible says that we're to do good to the household of faith, especially. Not that we shouldn't do good to all men, of course we should, but specifically here, he's talking about how we minister to one another as Christians, and he's saying, this is vital, this is important. Because true Christianity is loving God and loving your neighbor. It's the heart of it. You cannot say you love God if you do not love your neighbor. And so we see here that Jesus is saying, I need reality. I need to see reality. Reality is what I create in those who are truly righteous. So are you a sheep or are you a goat? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And is your conduct revealing it? Because if it isn't, maybe you've never trusted. So he says, then he will say to those, Matthew 25:41, on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see who it's prepared for. And yet, you can choose to go there. And how long is it for? Eternal fire. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick, in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger in needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you? He replied, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of these least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And so Jesus finishes his discourse with these people, that they might know for sure that they need to be prepared, that they need to acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives, that they need to be ready to meet God, that they need to be people who are trusting in the Lord. And because of those things, they need to be living the Christian life. God doesn't call us to be Christians to live any way we choose. God calls us to be Christians to live for the glory of God, to live where we are ministering to the people of God, to live with a right perception of God, to live not carelessly, but diligently as we trust in the power and the mercy and the grace that God gives to us. Oh, friends, these are warnings. Jesus is calling, and he's calling to you. Be prepared. Be ready. He's calling to you. Don't be fooled. Don't think that if you live like the devil, you'll be in heaven. Don't think that if you hate your fellow Christian and you are not willing to serve and to serve the body of Christ, particularly the other people of God, if you're not willing to be in fellowship, if you're not willing to walk with them, something is radically wrong. You might be a goat. You don't want to be a goat. Nope. You need Jesus. Oh, fresh surrender today. Call on the name of the Lord. Whatever your conduct has been up till now, you can turn to the Lord Jesus and you can accept his righteousness as a gift and expect his righteousness to be lived out in you by his mighty power. solemn words from the Lord Jesus here, giving us very a clarity that God is looking for reality, not fake hypocrisy. Oh, trust in the Lord today. Call on the name of the Lord. Believe in Him and be saved. And have the righteousness of Christ and the assurance of being a sheep at the end of the age. Because if you become a true sheep now, you'll be a sheep for eternity. I encourage you, turn to the Lord. Be prepared. Be ready. May God bless you. May you experience the mighty power of God in your life. If you are afraid that you might be a goat, don't be afraid. Turn to the Lord. Call on His name. Ask Him to save you. And believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died for you, rose for you, and will come for you. And be prepared. Because of these things, you can be prepared. You can be found serving the Master to the glory of God. Amen.